Okay, the 2014 NFL draft intrigue continues at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And tonight you are in for a real treat as we've invited back one of the very best NFL analysts in the business. And that is one thing that I love about Sean Salisbury is that when I listen to him on YSR each and every day, I always learn something new. I know he's versatile on the air. He can talk about the NBA and all different types of subjects, but I always learn something about the game of football. Sean, it's such a pleasure to have you back with us.
It's great to be back with you. Thank you for that compliment. I actually am a bigger baseball and basketball fan than football, so try to take a little pride in it, but I always love being on. And you know what's interesting, my first few weeks at ESPN when I first started there on television, mm-hmm. the big boss, you know, you're scared to death, like, how do I fit in with this? And I remember the big boss walked up to me and he looked, put his arm around me, and he said, "You're gonna be great here." He said, "Just tell us something we don't know." And that was his advice. It wasn't some big speech. He said, "Just tell me something I don't know." And I took that to heart to learn how to try and learn how to not talk over somebody. I mean, meaning, you know, somebody who's an amateur or doesn't know the sport and talk down to them, and then somebody who's really good at it, not talk below them. So there's a fine line, and I'm still working on it, but I appreciate that. It's trying to tell somebody something they don't know this day and age with the internet's hard to do.
Well, you and John Granato do a great job on Prime Cut. We need to give a plug out there. Of course, you can listen each and every day, Monday through Friday, from 4 to 8 Eastern Time at Yahoo Sports Radio. So take me back. In fact, you were an All-American, high school basketball player,
Was.
You were. But take us back to your draft day memory, since this has been such a big and an exciting past 24, 48 hours. What were some of those memories like for you in 86?
I promise the fish story doesn't get bigger. This is what happened. I remember when I came out at SC, I was the most, I guess I'll pat, I don't get to compliment myself much, so I'll brag, the humble brag, right? No, I was the heavily recruited quarterback coming out of high school. And I can remember it was a draft expert. He was either Joel Buschbaum or Mel Kiper. They kind of slot you 4 years before, you know, who the best freshman, what will he project? I mean, they did back then. And I remember they had me projected when I came out of high school to go that 3 years from now I was going to be the first pick of the draft. Big and could run and all that. And so I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Well, two injuries later and blown out knee and played my whole career without an anterior cruciate ligament, I can remember preparing for that draft day. And I went to the combine. I threw the ball well, but I still wasn't fully healthy. And I put, you know, Jim Everett and Robbie Bosco, all the guys were there, and I said, you know what, there's not many that throwing it better. But I knew that I wasn't going to get taken where I had planned 4 years ago. But I'd worked at it, and then draft came, and I was with my family, and that was when we had 12 rounds, and you woke up early at 5:04 in the morning on Saturday, and it was one day, and it lasted all day. Well, 7, 8, 9 round. I thought around the fifth round that the Rams had a quarterback to pick, and John Robinson was my coach for the first 2 years at SC. They took Stan Gelbaugh, and my heart jumped into my stomach. And I thought, okay. And I can remember going to bed with tears that night. I consider myself tough, but that night it kind of beat me down. I was 11 of my teammates had been drafted at SC. I'll never forget laying on the couch, and my best friend and hero, my father, who's as tough as man as I know, he walks in there, and he said, "I'm sorry." He said, "But tomorrow you're getting your ass off that couch, and you're going to wake up, and you're going to drive back to USC." I was down in San Diego, my hometown. He goes, "You're going to drive back. You're going to walk in that rate room, and you're going to congratulate all your buddies. And you're going to walk in there proud. You're going to put your shoulders back." He's a military guy. "And you're going to stick your chest out. And you're going to prove to the world that you're going to go play football." And he said, "Get up and go." And I did. I signed a contract, a free agent contract with the Seahawks. 10 years later, I'd lasted 10 years in the league. And I was a sixth quarterback in camp. They had drafted one, had brought Paul McDonald in, who was a veteran, had Gail Gilbert, David Craig, brought another kid in. And my father's – I was going to quit football that day because of the drive. I was going to quit. And my dad said, "No. You're going to prove to the world exactly who you are and what you're about. It's the first big adversity you've faced other than the injuries. You're going to go prove it." And I got out of bed to this day. I miss my dad because he was proud after that because I found out about myself. But that was a very, very difficult day. And this is going to change lives. You know, the draft, obviously yesterday, the first round, but as the second, third, and all these rounds roll through, lives are changed, good and bad. So it was a miserable day for me. It's bittersweet feelings, but it also gave me a chance to find something out about myself that I didn't know.
Sean, you know, would you talk about the popularity of the draft and just how far it has come? I mean, it is the biggest non-sporting event. Why has it grown so much and the fascination with it?
It's a made for, you know, and they want to add a fourth day. Please don't. I'll throw it in my mouth if they add a fourth day. You know what? It is... It's become such a great made-for-TV event, like anything. The Combine, I mean, come on. We didn't have it on TV when I was coming to the Combine. It was in New Orleans at the time. They rotated a little. It was in New Orleans, and we'd go out there and do it and had a blast. But you had to hear about it from talking to coaches. The rest, it wasn't on TV. But, hey, it's the way things have gone. You're going to, with the information highway and everything we're doing now, from Twitter to TV. It's just a great made-for-TV event, and we've built the drama up with the guy, you know, getting one guy who there, you know, there's controversy around who's not going to get drafted where he wants, and it's a great deal. I think it drags a little much, but you know what? We've got every expert mock draft in the world. Only in football can you tell a guy he's great on Tuesday, and then he goes out in a pair of shorts and works out in the offseason 6 days later, and all of a sudden now you've dropped him or raised him 17 picks in your draft because he played in a pair of shorts. So I don't understand it. I don't like it, that part of it. But I do understand the made-for-TV and the fodder that it gives us for radio shows. And it, you know what? It's good, and it's great for the kids. And that's filtered down into college, you know, and it's filtered down all the way into high school with all the high school games on TV and when a guy's picking his hat to sign. So it's kids in junior high are getting scholarships, so it only makes sense that we put the draft on TV for 47 days.
Our very own Sean Salisbury of Yahoo Sports Radio is working after hours with the Big E right here at YSR. So this year, the fascination with the draft, there's so much depth. Who is your man crush on?
You know what, Mike? I think the best football player in the draft, and people are going to see on Sundays after you do, you know, you just saw him get drafted yesterday, is Sammy Watkins. Mm. This is, I mean, I know Clowney is going to be, he's got all the potential. There's some guys with some risk factor, but Manziel will get his, and was obviously a deep quarterback class as witnessed. But I think, to me, Jake Matthews is going to be playing. When we're sitting here talking 10 years from now, he's still going to be playing and starting for somebody. There are some explosive players that have been picked. But for me, going into the draft, my man crush, I like Manziel's it factor, but huge Sammy Watkins fan because I need game breakers. We're in a passing world now where we throw the football in the NFL ad nauseum, and running backs have been devalued. So Sammy Watkins, who's kind of like an AJ Green or Julio Jones, he gives you instant impact and will start from the beginning and will scare defenses. Plus, he's a special. He can return kicks, too. So I loved him going in, and I love him now. And what a bonus he's going to be on Sundays.
Okay, so you highlight Sam, but talk to some more about Johnny Manziel. I mean, how quickly can he come in, make an impact, and contribute right away, especially in the bright lights of the NFL?
Yeah, you hope that it's take a little time to get your stuff in order like Aaron Rodgers got to do, but that doesn't happen very often nowadays. We expect him to play, and then we want the result like RG3 and Luck and Russell Wilson gave us their rookie year.
Yeah.
We no longer, the bar is so high now, you can't come in and say, I'll see you in 3 years. So, you know what I love about him? That 6 days a week, you kind of wonder, okay, has Johnny studied? What's he do? But when he hits the field, there's something different. And I always say great quarterbacks do two things. They have a lot of things in common, two that stick out to me. One, they take ordinary players around them and make them extraordinary. Or they take good players and make them great. Everybody's game raises, even when you're not playing well, because you just know how to get them to play. He's always done that. He's got that it factor. Now, could he fix some mechanics and the rest of it? Would he wish he was 6'3"? Sure. But he knows he gets it. And there's a football IQ and a football sense that you have to have. That I can teach a lot of things. I can't teach that. And you can't teach, I don't coach effort and I don't coach heart. That's up to them. You either got it or you don't. And he's got that. The other thing that I love about him is when the temperature of the game and the pressure goes up and guys are choking on their own spit, he finds a way to get it done. His blood pressure goes down. And every great, I'm telling you the truth, Michael Jordan, if you took Michael Jordan's pulse with a minute to go in a game and they're down by two, I'll bet you on my life that his pulse is lower than it was when the game started. And that the great ones have that.
You know, as a parent, there's got to be some curiosity. Like, what did they do as parents to raise him that way and to be able to embrace pressure?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. That's a great, if we could bottle that up and sell it, it'd be great. I was raised in a family that confidence was important. The never quit thing. But I don't know. And I felt like I had it for a while. Then I blew out my knee twice and I got sidetracked. But when you look at the great ones, and you do, there's an ability. And you know what? You know how people say that the greatest thing in the world is when you don't care what anybody else thinks?
Oh, right.
And I do think that's part of that, especially the superstars. Because you're going to take the shot and miss. If you're worried about everybody booing you, then you're not going to take that shot. So I think there's some, maybe you're born with it, maybe parents have ingrained it early in you, but the great ones have that ability to say, I don't care what you think, give me the football or give me the basketball.
Gotta love it. Sean Salisbury with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us online on Twitter at @eRadioSports. We will be right back with much more of one of the Big E favorites, Sean Salisbury, right here at YSR.